Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, gay listeners and other listeners who want to go on vacation in South Florida and have an awesome time? Hilton is got some great LGBT weekend plans. They got the Diplomat Resort and Spa in Hollywood, Florida, the Conrad Miami, the Diplomat Resort in Vintro Hotel South Beach, all part of the Curio Collection by Hilton. This is South Florida and everywhere that Hilton is a welcoming place for all LGBT people. We all know Hilton's a huge supporter of the LGBT community, Capital Pride in Washington, D.C., gold sponsor of NYC Pride, presenting sponsor of the GLAAD Media Awards in NY and L.A., which are acronyms for New York and L.A., or abbreviations. SCUBA is more of an acronym. If you like SCUBA, get your ass down to South Florida. If you're a gay snorkeler, get yourself down. If you're a straight snorkeler, but you like to go to fabulous places, get down there. So do me a favor and check out gooutdothilton.com. Gooutdothilton.com. LGBT travel ideas begin here. Ignite your own memorable moments, discover top gay destinations, and experience the most exciting places to go, including Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Now look, I'm a straight guy with terrible taste, but I know that Miami's a dope spot to go, so get down there and check it out. All right, listeners, now it's time for the podcast. I am mighty. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. John Gabrus. Thanks for tuning in. You have no idea what the fuck this is about. If you're just listening to a podcast because you're a Pat Walsh fan, at this point you are shutting it off and going, I miss Pat.
And thank you, by the way. That makes my day to hear you say that imaginary person that John made up.
Joining me in the High and Mighty studio is writer, comedian, gambler, ginger, Pat Walsh.
Hey, guy, you think I'm a ginger?
Are you?
See, I've been told it enough that I have to admit it, I guess. I feel like my hair is brown.
I feel like your hair is brown, but you have like that orangey beard.
The beard I know is orangey, yes. Yeah. Sure.
I would describe you as a redhead, but that is an unfair description.
I'll take it. I get it a lot more lately, and I just have to kind of admit it. I don't know why the bad connotation.
There is no bad connotation. It's like
Ron Howard.
You're still white. That's the win. You know? There's no other, like, you're still ranked above in the once Donald Trump's in office.
That's true.
Yeah, you'll still be given full rations.
Exactly.
Your family will still be awarded to be Sector 4 or whatever's going to be happening.
I think Trump's a great guy, and I don't know why he's getting the bad rap.
Yeah, I mean, he's a businessman, a leader, charismatic. You know, my mom truly believes this shit.
Does she really?
Yeah, because she just likes it. Like, my mom literally doesn't know anything about politics, and I can say that. Put any word I want at the end of that sentence.
Right.
My mom only knows about
your
nursing.
Your mom's a slow woman.
Yeah, my mom's a nurse, and that's like pretty much all she knows about. And fast casual restaurants around the Long Island area. But she is like, well, I like
Atlantic City. So Donald is my vote. I was like, Mom, we have to talk. Wow. I'm going home over Labor Day, and I'm going to just campaign.
Well, there's a lot of your moms out there.
Yeah,
you know?
There are. And that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
And young, newly conservative weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... You just tap the extent of my political knowledge.
Oh, yeah,
as
I'm
well.
Out. I know Donald Trump and the woman are running.
And the lady is good, is what I've heard.
The lady's good. The screaming orange butthole man is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, as always on High and Mighty, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read it on air. As a matter of fact, people out there who are giving me compliments in the ratings, I appreciate it. But I'm not going to read it on air because yeah. That seems too full of myself. But this is having a podcast where you read aloud by yourself is not full of myself. All right. The name of this podcast, the name of this review is This Changed My Life from Steve Linenkamp. After listening to Jean Gabris' podcast, I decided to lose weight. After just one episode, I realized that I could not end up like this guy. Just in the last 4 weeks, I've lost 15 pounds. Every time I lose my momentum, I listen to another episode, and it gives me the needed boost to continue bettering my life because, I will say again, I cannot end up like this guy. Love the podcast. P.S. All hail the Podfathers. I don't know what the fuck any of that means. I mean, I know what the first part means pretty well.
Is the Podfathers a podcast?
Oh, maybe. Is that his own podcast? Is he throwing it out? Did I accidentally give
him a... You might have just given him a promo,
fuck.
Yeah.
I'll have that edited out. Later on, I'll say 5 racial slurs and leave it in, but have that edited out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's where my moral standings are. All right, this is called Bambweezy. Oh, this is from Bambweezy. I like to imagine that John Gabrus, with an H and G-A-Y, is actually a half-assed character created by Gino Lombardo, who is a more pathetic, sad, moronic, less interesting, even bigger stereotype than himself. Subscribe, 5 stars. I think this is going to depress me and a lot of other people. I think a lot of people listen to my podcast just because I played Gino on Comedy Bang Bang.
Yeah.
And I think to the point where like they tune in and it's like not the same shit at all. Like, and they're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
I thought this would be Gabrus and Nick Kroll yucking it up. That feels, I feel bad, but I'm sorry, guys. Should I do a Gino episode?
Sure.
Am I allowed to do that? Do I have to ask Scott Aukerman if I could do it? Probably, I can. It's probably my character.
It's your character, right?
Right, yeah.
They didn't give it to you.
No.
Then, you can do whatever the hell you want with it.
Nah, I'll let Scott keep it.
He's not going to be doing it.
Right. That'd be funny if Scott's like, look, dude, shit's falling apart. Can I go on the road as one of your characters?
I mean, you sign a contract or something?
No, I didn't.
There are podcast contracts.
Yeah, you got to be careful, dude. I sign whatever people put in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sign any headshot you put in front of me. Pizza boxes. I remember seeing a picture of Action Bronson in like Prague signing a pizza slice. Like some kid ran up to him and was like, will you sign my pizza? And Action Bronson.
A box or a slice?
Just the slice, like the bottom of the slice. Like what he was half eaten.
I'm picturing a guy pressing a magic marker into cheese.
No, yeah, it's on the bottom half of a slice of pizza.
So he's going to keep that forever then?
I guess so. It's with Instagram, it's worth it at that point.
Yeah.
Look, he got a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
This is from the review is called Sonic Rules. The perfect podcast if you enjoy the feeling. Oh, yeah, I read this one already.
You think it's the hedgehog or the popular chain restaurant?
Sonic? Oh, that's a good call. It's probably the hedgehog.
I would think. Are there new Sonic games being made still?
From what I hear, there is a Sonic movie being written.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Being made. And I think
who's
there are
playing
new games.
Sonic?
I don't know. That's a good question. What nationality do you think Sonic is? Does he have an accent?
I mean, I always assumed white, but I grew up very sheltered.
I always assumed
he's a
lower middle class Irish guy. He's a fucking hedgehog, yeah, so he's one of us. A tunnel digger and tin knocker.
That's how my dad would relate to me about my heritage. Is I had to imagine Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog, he built these city streets, okay? You enjoy?
Yeah.
They run a good waste management program. I guess he's white, right? I always thought he was black because he was fast. I guess that goes to show you what my different point of view.
I mean, I could see
I live
Kevin
a different
Hart.
Kind of shelter.
I'd
life.
Watch Kevin Hart as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That changes the tone a little bit because you would think Sonic's a little confident, but that would be really fun to have Kevin Hart. Oh, man, I dropped all my... I'm not going to do a Kevin Hart voice. I just
aren't
almost
you?
Did.
Because that sounded like maybe you were.
I almost just did. I'm toeing the line here.
I have to At work, when we have a table read, I often have to read the characters who aren't there.
Oh.
And when it's Garrett Morris, when it's like this week, it was 2 Chainz. So it comes around, and I have 6 lines as 2 Chainz. He's going to do the show, but couldn't come to the table read. So then I have to think, well, I need to sell these jokes, but now do I have to talk in a stereotypical black voice? It's horrific.
I did a table read that you were at, actually, where I had to do Artie Lang.
Yeah.
And that was like so stressful.
Well, you were awesome. Yeah, I was writing on Crashing, the Apatow show that's coming up on HBO, and they were like, we need an Artie Lang type, because Artie can't be at the table read. And I'm like, well, even though I know Gabers would be perfect, it's more your vibe. And I'm like, I have to call him now and say, hey, I thought, who reminds me of this morbidly obese drug addict? And I thought of you. And that's essentially what I had to say. But I hope you didn't take it personally.
I didn't take it personally. I take it as a compliment. You're offering me anything. It's cool. And also, Artie is the fucking best. And I'm well aware that I'm pretty deep into the northeastern, the tri-state overweight addict area. Yeah.
Well, then the other role I wanted to
Just about to jump out on this for the Girls.
Yeah, I wish you still had the
I could probably pull it up. I'm not supposed to look up anything, but we're still in the beginning of the podcast.
So I recommended you for the part. The guy they got fucking sucked, and it still should have been you. But I go, Gabe, you should be perfect for this role. He's looking up the script now, but the character description, which I had not read, was like, this guy's just a real disgusting piece of shit. Like a complete slob.
It was
overweight.
It was brutal.
Lazy.
Where the fuck? I'm not.
Gabriel just forwarded me a snapshot of the character description. I was like, oh God, I gotta read these better.
Yeah, it was very sweet of you to get me in there, which I was stoked for.
Sure.
But it was just so fucking insane to when I was like, you're like, I got something for you coming through, and I go, oh, is it this? Because I knew you worked there. We didn't really talk about it that much, but I knew you worked there. And that was fucking difficult as all hell.
It was mortifying to me.
I cannot find it. That's I probably fine. Deleted it for my own sanity.
You get
point.
The gist. It was like, this guy's a real disgusting piece
it
of shit.
It was like it was at this
way too hard.
This guy's a fat mess, comma, a real pig, is what I definitely remember.
That's it. A real pig. I felt terrible. I feel terrible to this day.
Oh, dude, please. I was so thankful to go in there. I'm pumped.
Okay.
And, you know, you have a whole nother season. You're still, you know.
I want you in.
I want to do any show that I know is going to run forever. I'll play the most fat, disgusting character ever.
Well, to take you behind the curtain a bit is that things have changed now, but it used to be one guy made the decision. So if 10 people would go, I love this guy, ultimately it didn't matter. And everyone thought that you were super funny and the guy they cast fucking sucked. And I will not say who it was or what the part was, so he knows. But like, yeah, I mean,
Hollywood goss on High and Mighty. Oh, that's awesome.
But I recommended you, and then I realized I had met you at a bachelor party, and I was like, I don't know if this guy can act at all, really. But I assumed you were good.
And that's fun because I can't really I'm like a very specific type where it's like if it's directly over the plate I can do it. So you were right that I couldn't act, but you were also right that I could do these parts.
Sure. A real pig.
That's really funny because I actually met Jeff Baena at that bachelor party, and then eventually was in Baena's movie.
Yeah,
and it's like all because of just hanging out, all just because you hung out with me one weekend.
Well, I mean, you made quite an impression because I have a wide mix of friends. Many of them are comedy writer types, and many of them are the complete opposite type. You are not a comedy writer type of guy. I don't necessarily think that I am either. I'm pretty outgoing.
Right.
But that trip in particular.
Oh, yeah. It was like a field trip from kids from a special school.
Exactly.
former guest Sean Clements, former guest Dom Dirkus, Ben Rogers, Eric. A bunch of former guests. Will Hines, Joe Spellman.
The ones I knew, I was fine with. But they're all the type of writer. And there's almost always writers. Where like, you just assume they're all complete assholes until you really force them to look you in the eyes and engage.
Yeah, and you seem like they hate you because all their jokes are like whispered to themselves.
They're always whispering, and I was like, was that about me? I'm already sensitive. So that whole dinner where I met you, I was so sensitive the entire time, just feeling like I was being talked about. I'd make a joke and be like, oh, they didn't think that was funny. they're a certain type. And you know, Sean, I was at his wedding. I went to his bachelor party. I don't know if he likes me. And most of the speeches at Sean's wedding were about, including his wife, were like, I don't know if Sean likes me.
I will say at this moment that I think I maybe even mentioned this on the podcast that Sean was on.
Yeah.
But I replied to the email when he sent out the bachelor party email inviting him to the – when his partner, when the other Hollywood Handbook host, Hayes, sent out the email, I just replied with now I know Sean is friends with me. Like, that's like the moment I found out was being invited to the bachelor party. I was like, he does like me.
that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah. And
I've known him for 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I started with him in New York. But I'm also the type of person that Sean shouldn't like. You know, I'm like,
exactly.
I'm
that's
like,
why I was so honestly thrilled to have you there and why our, you know, our budding friendship means a lot. But at this dinner, you know, it's 25 guys and literally they're all like calculators out and like, I don't know, you know, should we tip this?
Yeah. Whatever. I don't drink.
Yeah. And you made like some real loud kind of gross joke that the waitress heard and like kind of laughed at. And I was like, oh, this guy I like. This guy's nice. And I, of course, I liked half the group going in and the other half I liked by the end of the trip.
Yeah,
they're all great guys. But it was hard for being a guy walking in there who didn't know many people to like connect with any of them.
Right, right.
Until well, then, I brought everybody up to my room to you
start
know, drink
smoking cigars
and smoke
and weed.
Or whatever. Yeah. And I had this big room at the Cosmo in Vegas, keeping
Which,
us on topic.
Here we
on
go.
Topic.
Now we're starting. You're keeping us on topic, a.k.a.
Starting us
putting
on
us on topic
yeah.
at minute 13.
Yeah. But I had clocked you at that dinner as a guy that I thought was funny and that I would like to talk to, if you will. But then when we were up there, I was like, I bet if I offer this guy some weed, we'll be fast friends. And that's really how it happened.
I was legit struggling with a cigar.
Yeah,
and I was
I
like,
hate cigars.
And I was saying, I said out loud to Sean, oh, I'm having a hard time because I'm hitting it like it's a blunt.
Yeah.
And then you just literally like leaned your head and was like, would you like to smoke some weed? And I was like, yes. Yeah. I was like, this dude has a fucking balcony at Cosmo and we're blazing weed over, and I'm a big Vegas head.
Yeah.
And then that's all that we needed to get started on our friendship was.
Yes.
And then retroactively, I didn't really know who you were either. So
right.
I retroactively found out more and more about you. We're like, oh, we do have a lot of shit in common.
Yeah,
we're both
yeah.
in the business. We're both doing comedy and stuff.
Right.
But for me, I was just like, oh, I don't know who this guy's friends with Sean. I like him. He's the only one talking to me.
Yeah. And then, you know, we kind of cleared everybody out and made love on that very balcony yeah. that night.
We spread out 2 grams of top shelf indica and
yeah.
made love all evening long.
I shook my wallet full of 20s all over the bed and we just kind of
rolled.
I had you roll around in
it was
nude.
A decent proposal. It
yeah.
was a rather
very
decent.
Very decent. Very decent.
Look, this is how good I am at hosting this podcast, or this is how good of a guest you are, because you have steered us directly into talking about Vegas.
Yeah.
But we went through our origin story of Vegas there, but also I brought up my mom loving AC and why she likes Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what – that was my gateway. The topic today is Vegas. We're talking about Vegas, the city, the experience, what it means to go there for an extended weekend and what you're supposed to do while there.
We've sort of accidentally been on theme this entire time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And like by like telling our friendship or origin story is so funny because it really does lead
Texas
to Vegas. Yeah.
All things do, really.
Oh man. All things take you to Vegas, and here's the other thing. Vegas can take you to all things, brother.
That's very true. Well, what John was saying is true. I when I go to Cosmo, which I go to every time, Cosmopolitan, it's a beautiful hotel.
Yeah, I'm a Palazzo guy, but I'm willing to be I like gambling at the Cosmo. I like the
Love
craft tables
there.
It's like a little louder and younger. And
yeah, it's a real young, very attractive vibe at the Cosmo. It's very fun. Those commercials, you know, it's a lot like that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody walking down the hall with no pants or whatever. That kind of vibe. But I stayed there once with a couple friends of mine, and I won on video poker $5,000. Then I was texting them. They were up in the room, and I was like, holy shit, I just won $5,000. And they were like, we'll be right down. And as I'm waiting for them to come down, I kept playing and won another $4,000. So $9,000. I put it all in a safe in the room. That's usually my strategy. I put it in a safe with a post-it on the safe that says no. Because I know if I drink too much or whatever.
Oh, you a note to
like,
yourself. I was like,
yeah.
The cleaning lady's not going to listen to the post-it note if she's already heading for the safe.
Well, no, the safe is locked. But when I go upstairs and, you know, it'll be 12:30 and you're like, I'm up, I'm going to bed. But then you're like, oh, shit, I got all that free money sitting in that safe.
Right. I lost my $500 I kept in my pocket down there. And now it's like,
I can take another
$500 out of there.
And that little message from your sober self that says no, it works for some reason. You'll see it and be like, yes, I'm going to go to bed. Yeah.
I give away my debit card when I go to a casino.
That's smart. You shouldn't bring your debit card.
Right. I bring my credit card, so if I need to like scramble to get a meal or a fucking hand job.
Yeah, credit card, and I bring the cash that I want to spend.
Yeah, I bring the cash,
not.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I can show you this. I start the cash very early. So here you can see I start saving up knowing that even if I remotely have one on record. Also, some dispensaries only take cash, so it's good to have a cash stash.
Sure. And I wouldn't want to put weed on a credit card either.
I have been for a while. I found a new spot that is
I don't like that at all. They have they already, when they make you sign in, I'm always like, I don't want to give you my information for buying this thing that's on the line of legality. You
right,
know?
Right.
It's weird to me.
It's been great to earn miles while buying.
Yeah, that's true.
Pre-rolls, though, I got to admit. Just while we're on this topic, I have this cash strategy that a lot of my friends know about.
Yeah.
Leading up to going to a casino, I start just taking out an extra $50 from the ATM or getting cash back at supermarkets, wherever I can get cash back, and I just keep jamming it in there so that when it goes time to go to the casino, I'm like, all right, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. Let me go take out five to whatever my budget's going to be.
Yeah.
And then I have like money that I hadn't taken out yet and that my wife
has, that.
I hid amongst other transactions.
Yes.
I literally skim cash off my own account.
Yeah,
So then I can only take out, and I only allow myself to take out cash once. So then it's like, I take out $1,000. And then I have $400 and I'm like, now I have $1,400 for the weekend.
That's smart.
And then I charge everything unless I'm up. If I'm up, I use cash for everything to make up for it.
Well, my mother, for many, many years, would use coupons for everything. So we never ate anything or drank anything that wasn't paid for with a coupon. And what what she would do that nobody knew about, she had a giant like manila, like multi-tiered thing that she would store the coupons in. But I moved to New York like when I was 22, 23 years old, and they wanted to come visit me, my mom and dad and my sister. My dad's like, I don't know, money's kind of tight, I don't know if we were going to be able to go up there. My mom revealed that anytime she uses a coupon, the money she saved, so if it's $1.50 and maybe it's a double coupon, which makes it $3, then she puts the cash that she saved into a big envelope and saves it for like a rainy day. So my dad's like, I don't think we can all afford a trip to New York. And she goes, but wait a minute, and brings out this envelope. Like, she's going to be the hero with all this cash in it. And it's got like a couple grand in it. And she's like, this is a plane ticket and a hotel. And my dad was furious that she was keeping money from him. And it led to their divorce.
No.
Which is a story as I'm saying it, I don't know why I'm saying it on your podcast, but it reminded me of that.
Holy shit.
But she was like, I'm going to be the hero. Check this out. Cha-ching. And my dad goes, you've been hiding money from me? So this entire trip to New York, I realized sort of 2 days into it that they were not speaking. But we're going to like the Statue of Liberty together. My dad's walking, you know, 20 yards ahead of the family the entire trip.
Oh my God.
And I asked my sister, I'm like, are they doing all right? And she's like, no. No, and they were divorced within about a year, and that was the trigger.
Holy
so
shit.
So be careful hiding that money. Your wife seems lovely. I'd hate to see it happen.
Shit, dude. I am going to go confess to her right now. She does know about it, though.
I mean, who doesn't have a couple hundred lying around?
Yeah, she knows because
hollowed out coffee can or something.
Every once in a while, she'll like be in a pinch where she needs cash for like a delivery or something.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, where's your cash stash? I'm like, oh, and I got to move it now.
Yeah, exactly.
So wait, you were saying you won $9,000 with a note to yourself. We were back there for
I won $9,000. And then the other thing that's tricky about that when you're with friends, I actually like to go alone, and I think people think that I'm going there to like get choked by a prostitute or something. I just like gambling alone and kind of spacing out.
I like
out.
Gambling.
Yeah, I
and
love
I,
gambling.
And I don't need someone to be next to me to gamble. I can get enough out of it.
Yeah, and I like to go there to write a script or something. And my girlfriend of 4 years, to her credit, I think her friends are all like, you're a fucking idiot. But she'll be like, yeah, if you want to go, you know, once in a while to Vegas for 4 days to write your script and to gamble, and you don't want me sitting there going like, hey, can we go do something other than gamble?
Right.
She gets it and doesn't care, and her friends are like, well, you must really trust him. She's like, Yeah, that's why you're with somebody for 4 years is to develop some trust. But Vegas doesn't have to be the den of sin.
Right.
You can observe that stuff.
You can choose only a handful of sins. You don't need every sin.
No.
That's the thing. It's got sins for everybody.
Yeah.
And that you just reminded me of the John August, the screenwriter who I'm a big fan of his podcast.
Yeah.
He says he goes to Vegas to write, too, because you don't have to be on a normal schedule in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like if you're just right till 3 a.m, you can go sit down and have a steak dinner at 3:30 when you're done. Stay up for another 5 hours, then sleep in the middle of the day you can work as and sleep as you want.
When I wake up and I'm like, you can gamble when you finish 20 pages, you will never see me write faster.
Holy shit. Now, you might be onto something here. You might have either enabled me to fucking lose my shirt, or you may have enabled me to get a fucking script done.
Well, and the beautiful part of it is that since I work on a TV show, I'm writing a script that I know is going to give me a lot of money. You get a script fee.
Right.
And then the show is syndicated, so I get paid every time it airs for the rest of my life.
Right.
And you're sitting there and writing, and then you're kind of like, I'm going to gamble this right now.
Right.
I'm making this. I am working. You can you can see right in front of you the money it's going to make you. The trick is to not spend all of that or something.
Right.
But you feel a little better with a loss. I went very recently and did not do well in Vegas, but after that $9,000 win, Cosmopolitan started emailing or calling constantly. I had a host who was like, hey, I just wanted to introduce myself, you know. And most people don't see through it, and they're like, oh, I'm a high roller, and that's how they get idiots.
Right.
But I was like, no, they want that $9,000.
Yeah, and also if you're a slot player, too, because that's all that – they just need you to spend more time at that machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I played video poker, and the next three times I went back to Vegas, now I'm at a point where
they're luring you back to Vegas. So let's – because maybe people don't know that much about this.
Yeah,
but
they'll go
– you don't have to be a big spender to get free shit in casinos.
No, I didn't spend much to win that $9,000. But with all they know and see on their books is that I went back to Los Angeles with $9,000 of their money.
Yeah.
So they want it back. So they'll say, hey, next time you come out, we'll give you four nights at the Cosmopolitan. Bring a friend if you want. Oh, by the way, The Cure is playing, you know, because they sort of, I think they honestly clock what concerts I go to, because they're like, yeah, I fucking like The Cure. It'd be cool to see them. And they're like, you know, we can bring you out for that. We can enter you in this. And then they started, every time I would go, telling me at the beginning of the trip, eat and drink whatever you want. It's on us. And the guy was like, don't make a jackass out of me. But he's like, you know, porn, dinners, you know, alcohol, whatever you want is going to be on us here at the casino. So when you know that going into a weekend, it's like, it's just, it's an amazing experience, but I kept winning. So
to their chagrin.
I think making up for a long life of horrible luck, I hit a real stride with gambling, and I would go and win pretty substantial amounts of money on video poker. And, you know, I play blackjack for long periods of time, too, but you always wind up kind of even at blackjack.
Right.
Video poker, you play for a while, and I do have a strategy to it that's probably way too boring for anyone to listen to. But I play a game called Ultimate X, which is like it has multipliers. So if you get if you get three of a kind, then your next hand, and sometimes I'm playing 10 hands at once, your next hand is multiplied by like 5. If you get a straight, your next hand's multiplied by 10. So you're watching this or whatever, and let's say you get a really good hand. If they deal you 4 aces and you're playing 10 hands and each of them has a multiplier of like 10, 8, 6 or whatever, you sit there like you break into a sweat because you know that the second you hit that button, all hell's going to break loose. The siren goes off. And I won like $8,000 on a jackpot the next time I went with these things, and you're like, fuck, like it's so exciting. And this is how people get hooked. And the saddest intervention was a guy who was addicted to video poker. If you saw it, he's the most weaselly motherfucker in the world.
Oh, I can only imagine.
But they're interviewing him, and it really hits home because he's like, but I have won before, and as soon as I win again, then all my losses will be gone. That's like how he talks.
Oh, God. And that's what is the truest thing about
it. It's so true. Because when you get it, it is like... especially for a guy who struggles with serotonin, you know, you know, I'm always riding that line of depression. When you get that big thing and it's like they're going to hand you $8,000, especially if you've gone down like 500 on the trip and you're like, I'm bummed out, I lost 500.
Yeah.
To know that you're getting that back times 16.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you get hard. Like, it's like...
You're telling me, dude.
It's like, so exciting. And then you're chasing it, and you want more and more and more. You got to just get up and go to the room, put it in the safe, step back for a minute.
Yeah.
Or like you're foaming at the mouth.
Or take $200 and go eat like an insane meal
exactly.
or something.
Treat yourself right or whatever. Yeah. The problem with going with friends when you win that amount of money is they expect you to pay for everything from now on, too. I'm like, well, no. I'll buy you this dinner, and like, then we're done.
I'll buy, like, we'll drink all night on me.
Yeah. And then I'm not taking you out Pretty Woman style to get, like, new outfits.
Yeah, we're not all going spa treatments tomorrow. I'm not Nick Papa Giorgio all of a sudden.
Exactly.
So my whole family are gamblers. My grandpa went to Atlantic City once a month his whole life. Even after his wife died, he would take the bus.
Yeah.
My mom goes to Atlantic City today. Date twice a week, twice a month.
Yeah.
My dad would go with her all the time. Early on, we went to the Bahamas, and I was like 22, and my brother was just legally allowed to gamble there, which was either 18 or 21. I forget.
Yeah.
And we were super young. I'd either been to a couple of times or not at all. He had never been. We walked in. We put $50 each in the Wheel of Fortune slot machine.
Okay.
We're just playing it, and then we're like, "Oh, spin the wheel!" And we hit it, and it hits 1,000, which is the highest thing on it.
Nice.
And we are literally like 20 and 22, and we're like, "Print, take the thing out." We're like, $1,000. We went to the fucking thing,
and you're hooked for life.
And then we are hooked. Yeah. To date for life. When we go to when we go to Vegas together, me and my brother, if we're at the same bachelor party, we always go to the side and say like, "All right, $100 each in the Wheel of Fortune right now."
Sure. Yeah. Well, then
it's got to happen again for us. It's like it's possible. Yeah.
All those traditions and rituals that go along with it. But what you and I were talking about a couple weeks ago was that you will live your life so tight on money and so frugal. My mom is a perfect example of that. My grandma, an even bigger example of that, where, like, they didn't spend a dime. My grandma's 80. Like, I mean, if she cracked that wallet, it was for something very specific, coupons galore and everything else. But now my grandma is definitely addicted to video poker. My mom, anytime I call my mother, I hear the gling, gling, gling in the background. She claims she doesn't lose a lot, but her and her husband go now.
Yeah, I get fucking picture texts to me and my brothers from my mom of jackpots.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, man, this is kind of sad. Like, I never would have even occurred to me to gamble. Why would anyone do this? My mom started going, and now she's hooked, and they're all hooked. They go on trips kind of around gambling. So I go home to Missouri to see my friends and family and everything. They got riverboat casinos in Missouri. So like,
and the fam's like, should we get out on one of these things?
That's where the family goes now to like connect with each other. We wind up sitting in a row of six people silently pushing the button and then comparing jackpots and shit.
But that's the best. I would much prefer that to my current relationship with my parents.
Believe me, it's great. But there's something about gambling, and I just bought my first house, and I've always been very strict on money, and I'm not the guy who gets a fancy car. You saw what I pulled up in. Sky Blue Prius. It's a
Periwinkle.
It is a plug-in. Yeah, you could say Periwinkle. You wouldn't be wrong. But, you know, I know my nut.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, I know that, like, I never want to be in a bind again. I've been there. I've been broke. I'm not going back there again.
Right, yeah.
But when you get there and you're gambling, especially with video poker, where you kind of have to invest some hundos in that machine.
You have to lose a couple $100.
Yeah, and I'm throwing them in like not even thinking about it. Meanwhile, I go home, and if Amazon raises a Blu-ray from $11.99 to $12.99, I wait till it goes back down. I'll wait weeks.
I'm the same way. My wife was just like, buy new shoes, and I'm like, no, I'll just wait because I'm even more piecemeal money, but I do fine, but I'm always like, I'll wait till I know that gig I did, I'll get a big paycheck then, and then I'll buy shoes and two other things I need then. But then I'll go to Vegas when I'm like in between jobs and be like, look at what kind of money I have in the checking account, and I'll be like, this is the most I could possibly lose,
and you lose it.
And I bring it.
Yeah, bring it. Yeah. Hopefully you come back with some.
So recently I was in Vegas with some friends, former guest of the podcast, Doug Mand, who I think you also know, and Dan Greger.
Yes.
And I broke even, and I considered it a win.
Oh,
like,
sure.
I so assume I'm going to lose.
So when I'm leaving there, you know, honestly, five trips in a row, and I get those nice 3-month hiatuses every year with nothing to do, And they're asking you, you want to come out for 7 days this time? You want to bring your girlfriend for a week over New Year's Eve, stay at a luxury hotel for free on New Year's Eve, go up to the club for free if you want to go there
and
for midnight.
And they're like, just the unspoken thing is, you're going to spend a bunch of hours.
You're going to be
putting that money back in there.
And they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and my girlfriend was in med school and studying her ass off, so I'd go down and gamble, you know, and it works out great. But like, when we go together for like a romantic weekend when she is free or something, I have to prime myself off these fucking machines.
I cannot.
That's why I like to go along, because I hate the guilty feeling of like, we'll go to dinner in a minute, honey.
Yeah, hey. I hate to like, after this one, we have to go to sleep.
Yeah,
because I'm like, you don't have to ever go to sleep.
That's true. But also, when I hear myself saying, just after one more big win, then I'll pack it up. I'm like, I'm the guy on the fucking intervention.
Right.
And I'm in complete control, and I'm winning. I'm up. I'm way up. I'm up to an extent where I can't really ever be down in Vegas, because I will never let myself lose on a trip
like
more
equivalent
than
to what you've.
That would never happen. Right. I'm never going to go on a trip where I lose $9,000. That wouldn't happen.
Well,
so I'm
safe. Let's say, hopefully, in a couple of years, losing $9,000 is even less of like.
Well, sure. But I read that article of the guy who ran Deadwood.
Oh, Milch. Milch is a big time gambler.
It's actually an amazingly written article. It was in the Hollywood Reporter of all places, but. It starts with like the wife calling her accountant to like ask about, you know, some loan or something, and he's like, "Well, what are we going to do about David? And we need to put him on a allowance." And she's like, "He's a 60-year-old man. What are you talking about? Like, he's worked on 5 massive shows that he created." And the accountant was like, "You don't know?" And she goes, "No, they were broke. They were completely broke." And it started with Vegas, but then he did that luck show.
And got into horse racing.
Got super into horse racing. So he'd buy a horse, like Pyomai style, and he starts losing money that way, but never told her. So you got to live with that secret. But how does David Milch, let's say conservatively, this guy, you know, did Hill Street Blues and all that shit. He's been in the business for 40 years.
Yeah.
Let's say conservatively that guy had $40 million, but I think it was more. And I think the article says it was way more. How do you, when you lose $1 million, how do you not go, holy
take
shit,
a year off.
I have to get my life in order.
Yeah.
How do you take that down to zero? Unless you're just going, well, I'll get back up.
Which is what you do.
Yeah. Norm MacDonald has lost all of his money 3 different times.
Yeah.
He's broke now. He lives in an apartment.
Dude, we're talking about Artie Lang earlier.
Yeah.
We really were accidentally, this. Like, that was like our little thesis introduction there. Artie's infamously lost it all and gotten it back.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of actors and stuff you hear, like Affleck loses a lot of money and allegedly wins some too. Like, didn't he get caught like trying to count cards?
He got
caught,
counting cards.
That makes Ben Affleck, and I already am a huge Affleck apologist. I'm a big fan.
Sure.
And I think
apologist,
he's I think he's a solid director.
I agree. When he started doing that, I was like, okay, dude. All right. Because I think everybody suspects they didn't write Good Will Hunting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But assuming he and Damon wrote that, and he is obviously directing these movies, I love Gone Baby Gone.
Right. Gone Baby Gone is so good.
His acting he's always serviceable.
Right.
You know, the guy's.
He's a handsome as fuck, strong jaw.
He's very handsome.
But solid Batman. I hated that movie, Batman. I didn't hate it as much as everyone else, but he was a solid Batman.
Yeah, no, I'll grant you.
Yeah, Keaton's
not the most difficult role. Keaton, yeah, of
yeah,
course.
It is not the most difficult role to only move your lower jaw, which I just already said was Affleck's best trait.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only visible part of his body.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he's apparently got a problem, but you feel like he's not losing $5 million on a trip, is he?
No. I feel like that's.
I don't know.
I like that. I'm like cool with losing money, but it always will be percentage. You know what I mean? Like,
here's my thing. I actually can count cards. which it's fairly easy to teach yourself,
but the plus or minus system is that the one you use,
and my buddy's going through it with me, and every single time I had the count exactly right. And at home, for some reason, you can't predict what the next card will be, but anytime I would like push up my fake bet when I'm practicing with my friend, I would get a blackjack or I'd get it, and I'm like, this really fucking works. And then you go to Vegas and it's double deck and it's supposed to work like a charm. I read the book, you know, Beat the Dealer or whatever. They only hide one card, which could be, you know, anything.
Could be a face card, yeah.
But I was counting it. I never missed the count. And you jack that bet up. Sometimes I bet it's 50-50. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
It's not like in a movie where the guy who's counting, you know, Rain Man can always predict, like, oh, that's going to be a four or
right.
something. Right.
That's not how it works. Yeah. The best you could do is helping. It's a 10 heavy deck.
Yeah. It's helping your odds.
Right, right, right.
So when they say now is a great time to bet big, you can do it, but the cards are going to come up what they're going to come up.
The cards are going
to
go, yeah.
So I think
there's a lot of tens for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Even busting somebody on counting cards to me is a little like, how with all the fucking advantages you have here as a dealer, you have everything. And in Vegas now, you don't even get 3-2 on blackjack. It's mostly 6-5.
It's 6-5 now, which is crazy. And they don't all even have let it ride anymore. They're taking let it ride out because they
they're
moves
taking
too
let
slow.
It ride. They have I'm all these screaming. Advantages. So if you want to use a little math and in your brain be like, well, this would slightly help me if I did. How can they bust you on that?
That's crazy.
I've never understood it.
How could they see you, though, too?
The only way they can see you is if a guy who's betting, because this is how it kind of has to happen.
You have to bet 25 every time and then 125
And that's what I would do. If the count was like +6 and I'm betting 25 every time, then when the count gets up to +8, yeah, you better believe I'm maybe going to bet $100 or something.
Yeah.
Like maybe even a little more. And when that pays off, it's very exciting. But if they see you, then immediately go back down.
To 25.
Then you start looking suspicious. But you got to have a lot of ammo to approach somebody with that claim.
Right, right.
I feel like.
You have to be watching them for a while. You have to have something.
Have you played free bet blackjack in Vegas?
No, which one is that? Maybe.
Just when I was starting to get a little bored with the mechanics of blackjack, this free bet comes along. So here's the gist of this game. I've won quite a bit on this game.
Oh.
But it's never video poker. That's where you win a ton immediately. Blackjack's a slow...
Right. Blackjack is a grind, and then you got to pull it out right at the last
Yeah, because you can be up 200 and be like, oh, this will never go away, and 5 minutes later, you're out.
Yeah, you're like, it's like going to the room.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Calling your wife with like... trying to do the math on how you fake how much you lost.
Sure. Free bet was just appealing to a degenerate at just the right time. It's a spin on it, but it's also pretty easy. The gist is, anytime you get a split, meaning like if they deal you 2 8s, normally to split that, let's say you're betting 25, to split it, you put in another 25.
Yeah.
They cover it for you. They give you $25. So if you win that, you win the 50.
Okay.
If you lose it, you only lose 25. Same with a double. If you have a 9, 10, or 11, they'll double it for free. Where it gets a little weird is of course, you're going to take the free double, but you're going against a 10. The odds are against you, but you're not going to turn down a free 25.
Right.
Then you see that like the book's kind of bullshit because people are betting on these crazy things and winning. So like you'll double down on a 9 and get a 10, and then underneath the 10 is a 6.
Yeah.
And a 10. And you're like, what was I so scared of? Free bet kind of like pulls the curtain back a little
right.
bit.
Right. That's weird. What's the disadvantage they hit you with? Blackjack probably plays 2-1.
Blackjack is one of the only games where it pays 3-2. I don't know how. So you have every advantage. Their advantage is that if the dealer gets 22, they push. They don't bust out. But you can play for 2 hours and not even have that happen, where they hit 22 spot on.
Right.
But you can also play for 2 hours and never get a split or a double.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of anybody's guess. But when you get dealt an 11 against a 6 or something, and they're doubling that for free, you start to get tempted to bet more and more because, okay, if you're betting 10 and they match it, great, you won an extra $10.
Right.
But let's say you're betting, and I've never bet anywhere close to this, but $500.
Right.
They're matching that too. So if you're dealt 2 9s against a 6 and you want to split them, and then they'll if you do one of those things where it keeps splitting and splitting and splitting and
right.
doubling and doubling, they do it all. So off your
Jesus.
Initial investment of 500, they're going 500, 500, 500, 500, 500. They can have, if you were betting 500, which again I have not done, you could have technically like $4,000 out there of their money, and all you have
is 500
is your initial 500. And if you win all that, like, they've handed you a tremendous amount of money. That is like a jackpot.
Right. Shit.
And they have it at Cosmo. It started with one table. Now it's really popular, and they have like 4 or 5 of them.
But the house always wins. Like, right. So I'm a craps guy.
I never even learned craps. I don't want, like, Kingpin is one of my favorite comedies of all time.
Yeah.
I think it's every joke in it is funny, which is like, especially comedy now, like you're lucky getting three funny
jokes.
All
you need is one set piece and you're happy that's exactly all that existed.
But it's Bill Murray's talking to that priest, and he takes this big drink, and he's like, "It's my only vice." And then you remember this line?
No.
This woman with giant tits comes over, and he's gambling and, like, slaps her on the ass. And then he goes, "So, all right, two vices." And Bill Murray goes, "That's still very good." Which is kind of how I feel.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm like, all right, I have a bit of a video poker problem, a bit of a blackjack problem.
Right.
That's still very good because right. I don't know how to play craps. I walk right past roulette.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know me. If I'm adding in more and more opportunities to lose money, I'm going to lose that money at some point.
Right. See, I like to throw it around at Vegas. I mostly play craps, but if everyone's going to sit down at a blackjack table that I'm with, or like,
you got to do, you
I'll do it. Or everyone's going to roulette, I'll go over there and fuck around for a little bit. I used to play Let It Ride a lot because I enjoy it because it moves slow. And then one time I had a solid ass. So one time I was with Tiff, we were supposed to go to sleep, and I'm like, oh, come on, let's just play for like another half hour.
Right.
And I'm like, I have like a pretty big bet out there. It's like 25 each, so 75 or something like that, which is a $10 minimum table.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and the machine jams because like Let It Ride uses that like shuffler, auto shuffler, and it's taking forever. And I'm like, ugh. Tiff's like, this is taking too long. When the next machine, and I'm like, let's just play one more. Like, it feels lucky now. It feels weird. I got to stay here now. And then what I'm doing is
if you weren't like wasted and you step back and heard yourself saying that, or if you saw a guy telling his girlfriend,
you would roast him.
It doesn't feel lucky now. You would want to just beat the shit out of that pathetic
loser.
I know,
I am.
But you find yourself saying it.
I was legit like, no, there's something weird. I said one more hand, and then the thing broke. I gotta wait for that one more hand.
They're trying to tell me that I should keep playing. Right. I mean, obviously.
So I'll stick around. It takes a while, and so I have 75 out there, and I'm like, getting bored, so I'm like, I put the rest of my money evenly divided by three, so it's like 110, or 100 three times across, and I'm like, that's great. And then Tiff's like, you're really gonna bet all that? Well, I'm gonna take back the first two if my hand sucks, and I get dealt three kings, and that's automatic 3-1.
Yeah.
So like, I'm getting already. I just won $600.
Right.
Now I sit back and you hope for the fourth king.
Right, of course.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. This is so, but I don't have to take back any of my bets. And I'm like, Tiff. And I'm like, I told you I should stay. I told you. I'm like, so, like, in her face. I'm like, now, if you see that drunk guy going, what did I fucking say? I'm not a fucking loser.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking hero.
Yeah,
I'm going to win. And now I'm being that guy.
Yeah.
And then she flips over a six. And I'm like, oh, fuck, king.
Yeah.
And I'm not even thinking. And she flips over a six and makes me a boat from a.
Right.
And I wasn't even thinking that. And that's 11-1 on each of those.
Holy shit.
Plus, like, the dollar big hand bonus. Bonus is like another $200.
Yeah.
I won like $3,600
with
this one more hand, and I was like, "See!"
I won 1,000,000%, and I would imagine the listeners did as well. Thought that that was going to end with you losing.
Yeah, right.
Anytime you're rubbing in something that much, you're about to lose.
Nope. Sometimes you're right, motherfucker. Yeah. Suck it.
when I see it, because especially when I go by myself, I'm drinking significantly less, and I'll sit and really. It's my form of meditation, this video poker. I can play it forever. I love it. It relaxes me. I always leave Vegas very relaxed.
I love to get baked and play video poker
because
it reminds you of getting baked and playing like Snoot or something. You know,
that's exactly right.
It's kind of just like I would do this on my phone, on my Xbox.
That's exactly right.
I just sit there and blaze and then just go deep.
I feel like being high and playing video poker is... a very close second to sex for me.
See, I feel being high and swimming.
Obviously being high and having sex is the ultimate. Being high and in the ocean, that's great.
That's up there.
Sure.
That's my number two. Behind being high and having sex. That's behind being high at all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. That's like being high next to a General Tso's tray.
That would be great to me, except for the guilt that seeps in even through being high of like... Well, not tomorrow. You're going to have eaten all this food. It's a goddamn nightmare. But anyway, when you look over and see the girl with like bleated eyes, with her head in her hands, in like a beautiful dress.
Yeah.
You know, and like cleavage is out and everything. And yeah. All she wants to do is have fun and sitting next to some guy pumping money into that slot machine and be like, I know, in just 1 second, we'll go out in 1 second. And they're there an hour later.
Yeah.
I'm like, what a fucking loser. And then, of course, you get that mindset of like, why doesn't he take her up the room and have sex with her? What's the matter with this idiot?
Yeah. And
but
then
you find yourself with your girlfriend sitting there.
You're like, I can fuck you at home.
Amazing.
Gambling's illegal in L.A.
Yeah, exactly.
I can fuck you at home and I only play poker once a week.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's sick what you do and the ways you rationalize what you're doing and what you're spending and everything else.
The math I'll do.
Yeah.
Where I'll tell myself I really lost at the end of the week, I'll be like, I mean, that wasn't bad though, really. I only lost $1,000 and it was a free room. So that's
exactly.
And I knocked that off they paid for my room, so that's $250. Like I
and
would
the
pay
meals.
$250. Yeah.
If I took Heather to Palm Springs for 3 nights and then we had all these nice dinners, it would have cost more than $1,000.
Right. So what's the big deal if I lost a G?
The fact is, you don't know that that's true at
right,
all.
No.
Like,
and also
all of this
sometimes
could be
I lose
bullshit.
A G and then I also charge a fucking dinner on my card.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, so I lost $1,000, I go home, and the weekend then cost me $600 on top of
Guys, it's time to talk about HelloFresh. It's a meal delivery system that I just got to do a free sample of. Thank you, HelloFresh. And it's awesome. It makes it so much... Like, I live with my wife. She's an amazing cook. But she sometimes works late. So now with HelloFresh, a couple of days a week, I get to actually make a meal. Now, I used to cook for her before all you feministas start kicking my hiney. I do cook, but I can only make like a handful of things. With HelloFresh, it's opened up my entire repertoire. Like, I made pork chops with like a glaze on it. The fact that I can't remember was like, it was so good. I made a grilled peach salad. Like I was making some insane things I would never have made before. And that's all because of HelloFresh. It's a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. And they only take about 30 minutes to make. It's all fresh ingredients. It comes in like a box, packaged perfectly. You take it out. Oh, this is how it's got every ingredient down to the T, so you just don't have to worry about anything. Not that any of them use tea. I was using tea as in the colloquial tea. They have a dietitian on staff, so as every recipe is, you know, is nutritionally balanced. It was healthy, it was filling, and it was easy to cook. I don't know what else I need to tell you guys here. I made a chicken to like souvlaki salad, and you know I hate salad, and that chicken salad was awesome. I love the chicken the best. So it gets delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box. For free delivery, by the way. So you can get 3, 4, or 5 meals a week. And they're launching a family plan where you get meals for up to 4 people. So do me a favor. Go to HelloFresh and use the promo code MIGHTY. You can get $35 off your first week of deliveries if you visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code MIGHTY. Stop ordering takeout. Start eating real food.
The strategy that has served me well the most in blackjack is... buy in for $300. When you double up, if and when you double up, I cash out, and I would always walk that money upstairs and put it in the safe. I can't stress enough if you're going to be using this as tips for Vegas.
Yeah, let's get into some tips in our strat. And maybe I like these more that less than actual gambling tips, but like the psychological tips.
Yeah.
The tips are really fun to me.
Well, if I you never want to go. They always see Motorhead. Lemmy says double up or quit. You know that's pretty true. Like
right.
If you
didn't come to. And I always say to Tiffany, and then she gets really upset, is like, I'm like, I didn't come to Vegas to win $200.
Sure.
And I didn't come here to only lose $200 either. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going, it's going to be a bigger swing.
You know what? I could not agree more. Where it started to get dodgy with me is that Heather's trying to pay her way through med school. So when she'd come to Vegas and I'm throwing away, like one of these payments. That's why I have to go by myself. If she's sitting there watching me put hundreds into the machine, I'm just like, she must silently hate me.
And then you get guilty, and then you don't play the way you normally play, and then you don't win, and then you blame yourself
That's
for not playing the normal way.
Exactly.
And then you blame your SO, your SIG of.
Yeah.
You're going, well, if she wasn't here, I would have definitely been fucking winning. And now I'm like, and now I got to go take her out, and that's cost me $400.
Exactly.
So I usually just eat it. If we go with Tiff, we make plans. I'm like, look, it's probably $350 for you to get a massage. Go get one. Spend an extra couple hours at the spa. Don't buy anything, but definitely check out some shopping. You know, I'm like, give me 3 hours where I can just go apeshit, please.
It is not a great place for couples, really, at the end of the day.
No.
It's a great place for a big group of dudes to go have fun. Or honestly, and it always raises eyebrows, especially with me getting to be 35 years old, me going by myself. And people are like, I don't get that. But people don't get me going to a movie by myself.
Yeah,
I
go to the movie by myself. I go by myself. Because I like going to the movies enough. I think if I was working more regularly, Vegas by myself would not seem weird at all.
Yeah.
And if I am not, since I'm not working regularly, I would just like to throw out there that me sleeping on a cot in this room would not feel weird for me at all. I don't know how by yourself you like to be.
Oh, no. I mean, I can get the two queens room. They give me the one bedroom room where it's like a full apartment and a balcony. It's where we all were smoking night.
The balcony is clutch in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because then you can like smoke weed without the fear of getting a security guard knocking on your door.
I mean, the balcony on like a 4th of July weekend when all those fireworks shows are going off and you smoke a little weed up there. It's a goddamn dream. I truly love Vegas. I think sometimes to be there sober, I've gone there and done a 4-day cleanse in Vegas just because it keeps you really focused. I have a bunch of weird habits where if I'm going to do this much, you know, risk this much money and this, I have to be punishing my body in some way. All kinds of weird shit. But, you know, the other thing is they come around with drinks in Vegas every 15 minutes.
Right.
If you're a guy like myself who was raised, like if somebody's offering you something free, you take it and don't look back.
Right.
You could if you're sitting there 2 hours, you could have had 8 drinks in 2 hours for free. And people do it.
I've been known to drink about 10 vodka sodas while playing craps and
you think nothing of it.
Absolutely annihilated. When I go to take my first piss, I'm like, Jesus, I can't believe I'm finally pissing. Like the adrenaline kind of settles down in your body and you're like, oh fuck. And you like walk back over to the table, see what kind of chips you have, and you're like squinting now. And you're like, I am lit as fuck right now.
It's bad news.
So for me,
and they know what they're doing. They want you that drunk.
Right. Because you're just gonna get looser and looser with every decision. Which is also why I think that they don't crack. I'm not as concerned about the weed crackdown either. I'm like, oh, don't worry. Right. I'm not going to stay up here and watch movies. I'm going to come down there and get lose my money.
Yeah.
So I used to really like gambling. Like that's why I would go to Atlantic City. And then as I got older and as I, because I would go to like Atlantic City, and if I went with friends and they were like, we're all going to go to the club, I'd be like, cool. I'm going to just go play craps. Yeah.
Same here.
And now at this age, I still don't go to clubs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at this age, I like Vegas. And since it's not just like one night in Atlantic City with your buddies, and I'm an adult who earns money and has a car now,
right?
I can go to Vegas and I don't need to gamble the whole time.
Yeah.
But because I like other things about Vegas. You know what I mean? Like I used to be only gambling. And now I'm like, I don't go to Vegas without spending 3 hours in the hotel spa the next morning. I do not.
Sure.
I schwitz for 3 hours every time I go now. Because now I'm like caught up in like the weird Vegas, like I like that old timey Vegas thing of like, let's drink and gamble all fucking night. Yeah. Then wake up the next morning, eat a fucking huge ass breakfast, shit your brains out in the room, and then go down to the spa and spend 3 hours in pools, drinking fucking water with pears floating in it with your friends.
Beautiful thing.
And bullshit. You fucking bring a vape pen down to the locker, leave it in your robe pocket.
And I start thinking to myself when I go down and spend a couple hours in the spa, see, this is smart. This is time you're not out on the old gambling floor.
I count it as literally earning money.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is 3 hours? I put $500 in my pocket.
Right. Heather, the one New Year's Eve time, the guy even said, I'll take care of massages. He's like, don't get a daily massage or something, but I'll take care of it. This was right after I had won a lot of money. And I was there, and I'm thinking to myself, God damn, like, this massage is $300 or $280. Like, I almost want to ask if I can just get the cash. Like, this is crazy. So, because I had so little interest in spending that amount of money to take care of myself.
Right, right, right.
I just wanted to gamble it. And that $280 seems so insane to spend.
But then you lose $600. And then that's the big turn I had to make, too. And then my brother was visiting once I moved out to L.A. Me, him, and our wives, we all went to Vegas together.
Yeah.
And he's a big-time gambler, and we were super pumped. And he's like, I don't care what we eat for dinner. We'll just grab a fucking burger or something like that. And I was like, no. let's go to like Ruth's Chris or whatever. This, like, he's like, what, dude? It's gonna fucking cost us like $150 each. I'm like, trust me, this is the new me at casinos, because I'm gonna lose $150 anyway. But at the end of the night, if I lost $600 but ate at Ruth's Chris versus lost $600 and had fucking a club sandwich, what does it matter?
You will never regret. Like, if you get into one of those spots where you're up a grand, you'll never regret going and getting a real nice dinner.
Right. Yeah. You're
never.
Not
gonna, yeah. You might later on be like, how the fuck did I lose that $1,000 in 2 hours? I was up. Why am I so stupid?
Right.
But if you go to get dinner, and I, as I was saying earlier, find a way to get off the floor. Go up to your room. If you do have to take a shit, don't do it in the casino, because those bathrooms are disgusting.
Yeah. And you're going to get, you're not going to pass a cocaine drug test if you sit on a toilet seat.
That's exactly right. Go up to the room and you get out there. And then when you come back down, because here's just something I do as well. So let's say you win one of these jackpots. They come out and hand you $6,000 worth of $100 bills that are just sitting in your wallet. So if you're not thinking, if you don't go up to the room and count it and go, like, hold that money in your hand,
you can keep pulling hundreds out and not realize.
Hundreds out, 'cause you're like, well, I'm up $6,000, so who cares? There was a guy next to me who started crying. We can get into sad shit we've seen in Vegas, by the way. But I go, what's the matter, man? Are you okay? And he's like, I'm just fucking drunk. Don't worry about it. I'm just fucking drunk. And I go, what happened? And he basically told me just that. He was like, he had won a $3,000 jackpot. He had texted wife, family, parents. Okay. Oh, my God. Pictures of it. I won $3,000 in Vegas. Facebook tagged it. You know, everything, like, here's what I did, and sat there, and within about 10 minutes of just like, well, I won, so I'm invincible, he went back down to zero. And he's wasted and crying, and he's like, no, I got to go home, and I told my wife, you know, I'm going to get her something nice, and I don't have any money. I was like, yeah, I know, man.
And I had
that guy was me. No.
That guy was me, and I was a time traveler version of myself. No, the crazy thing is, you say that, I know now. That you don't text and
you do
say
not
how
brag.
You're doing.
That's exactly right.
I always
right.
say, and then I've realized that there's this like tradition in my family. My grandpa would always say, "How you doing? Like, how you doing, Pop Pop?" He'd go, "Not getting hurt,"
which means you're way down.
Yeah, which means he's down. But he would never say anything. And then when he was doing well, he'd be like, "I'm doing okay." He would always just say that.
Yeah.
And then I would be
smart.
Like near him, and when he was like in his 60s, he was still totally with it at the time.
Yeah,
I'd be like near him, and I'd be like looking at him, and I would just see him be like. Look in his wallet or like his money clip. He's like a little slower at this point. And look in his money clip, and I'd be like, there is visibly $4,000.
Yeah.
Like, there is like a lot of hundreds for an old man. But he was like a union TV guy for a long time. So he got like, he had a good pension, all this shit.
Yeah.
And he lived alone and he only had two kids and they all did fine. So I think he was stacking and just would fucking blow it.
Yeah. My buddy, me and my sister are always like, we're getting no money from grandma. That's
right,
pretty
right.
clear.
Yeah.
But my buddy Mike, his grandma had passed away, and it was his mom's dad, was now living alone and started going to the casino. And his mom would be like, Dad, take it easy, you know, and he's like, oh, no, don't worry about it. And as if in a Gamblers Anonymous commercial, he comes to them at Easter and asks to borrow some money of his daughter, my friend's mom. And she's like, Dad, what are you talking about? Like, you have the house and everything. He had put a double mortgage on the house, completely obliterated like 75 years of savings in 3 months since his wife had died from going to the casino every day. Lost it all, and he's coming hat in hand asking to borrow some money to like help out with the house that she had grown up in because everything was gone. And I was like, I know I'm never getting to that point, but I certainly understand how that can happen.
Oh,
somewhere.
God, I got to like make sure I'm... here's the thing. I got to make sure I'm in a relationship. Like, if I think
that's so important.
That sounds terrifying. Like,
yeah.
Because if I...
To be like the guy who's 45, single, alone, gets hookers when he goes to Vegas or whatever. That is a guy who can lose $100,000 and on the way home just be like, God, I'm a fucking idiot. But no one knows it happened.
Yeah.
No one will ever know it happened.
Yes.
Oh, you need someone to keep you in check.
Dude... It's so funny. I'm going to turn it positive for my own sake at this point.
Yeah.
I literally talk about like dude, I can't wait till I'm like a fucking successful actor and I'm working like 3 seasons on a show and we could just go to Vegas and ball out. I say things like that. Like, I want success to go to Vegas in a more,
and lose the
in
success.
A better, in a better fashion.
Yeah.
To the point where I'm waiting to hear back about a job and some other people who are, we're all waiting to hear back about the same job. I send a text like, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I'm thinking about hopefully we're working together for the next couple of months. And one of them wrote back like, "I've been thinking about going to Vegas to celebrate getting picked up since we stopped shooting." Yeah. And I'm like, "That's Vegas. It's like, yeah. I hope we get picked up because that would be life changing for my career and financial situation.
Right.
But more importantly, then we can go to Vegas and just go apeshit for a weekend.
Yeah, you got it.
You'll get the invite
if you can get. Thank you. If you can get a host, if you can get one of those situations, it is such a fucking dream. And I always drive because I like the drive, catch up on podcasts or whatever. But
the flight is not expensive from LA either.
No, it's about 200 round trip usually. They'll pick me up. The hotel will pick me up at the airport. And it's a 10-minute drive that's saving me like $12.
Right.
But you feel so fucking
cool.
Oh, you
can feel like a fucking hero.
And that's
dude.
Their goal. And then going into the concert and being like, yeah, I'm comped. I'm actually right up here in the front. Or whatever. Like. And the problem is I never had any of this when I was, like, dating and could, like, impress girls. You know, Heather's okay, great, cool. But,
yeah, same here.
That's the
dream. I got these, my D-level celebrity status gets me, like, you know, whatever it gets me is now, like, I'm just, like, me and my mid-30s wife, both of us would, like, yeah, it's like, oh, you want to go to this music festival? It's like, not really.
Yeah, you're not blowing away the girl that you're like, trying to win over or whatever.
She's like, are you kidding me? We're supposed to do this that weekend. I'm like, oh, sorry, I got free tickets to some whatever. But it's the shit I'm getting offered is insane too. So I shouldn't even be bragging about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to go. So when I went to Adam Pally's bachelor party there, it was like my first Vegas trip as not with my parents.
Yes.
So because he got married early on. He got married young. And that was the first time I went there. And I was like, ooh, this is. And then I was getting comped because I was just gambling. And I started to like come into my own a little bit of like, this is the way you got to carry yourself in Vegas. So
it's
now,
true.
Maybe I don't know if you were around for any of this at Sean's thing, but if you've ever seen the way I talk to dealers and stick men and stuff, it is like I am a fucking. I'm like Joe Pesci-ing. You fucking, you laughing at me? You fucking psychopath!
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'm just screaming at everybody. I've started carrying myself like that, and oh, this is what I was saying. Oh, when we went to the bachelor party, this guy Ben Lyons, who's like a E movie correspondent.
Fuck, I do know Ben Lyons. Yep.
He's one of our other friends sort of knew him, and he was hosting a party at like Body English at the Hard Rock.
Okay.
And I was like, why would anyone do that? It's like this E correspondent. This doesn't help his career. And then like as I've gotten into the business and learned more and more, you find out that there's like celebrities get like, we'll give you $50,000 in chips and a suite all weekend and
I've
all this.
I've gone to a Ben Lyons thing in Las Vegas.
Like, yeah.
He must just tell everyone he knows. And there's a single guy who's probably taking a lot of advantage
right,
of it.
Right. Smart. Yeah.
When I started, I have never had a signature on my email ever. It's always just, if I write Pat, you're lucky.
Right.
And I started when I would correspond with this guy being like, hey, can I come out for 4 nights, August, whatever. I would write under it, co-EP of this show, as though it was my thing. But then I would forget sometimes to even put it on there. I'm not going to make that my signature. But they see that, and if you say, you know, I'm on Guy Code, they flip for it. Vegas is not Los Angeles. If you have some sort of ties to the entertainment industry, they will take care of you.
Yes.
And you can use what you have.
Oh,
and
I
should use what you have.
If you don't think I've called... So here the... One night I was a PA at VH1.
Yeah.
And we were playing in the New York City media soccer league. I was like playing against the New Yorker.
Yeah.
And then some of the guys from the team, these other PAs and APs, we all went out and started getting bombed at the Boat Basin. And then someone was like, let's take the fucking bus to Atlantic City and go straight to work tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm like, I can get a free room at Harrah's because I had gone a few times to Atlantic City with my mom and stuff.
Right.
And they were like, all right, let's go. And no one backed out. And the three of us get on a bus at like 1 a.m. We get to Atlantic City at like 2:30. It's like midnight. We get there at like 1:30, 2 o'clock. And we just start gambling through the night. And I call on the way up there, and I'm like, hey, yeah, I need a last-minute room. This is John Gabris. I'm a comp member, but I'm here with a bunch of guys from MTV. And we're like, and I'm like, lying, and I'm like, PAs.
A bunch of guys from MTV. That's what got you in, I guarantee.
Right, and it got me. And then I started getting more and more comps from Harris and stuff, and we showed up there. They're like, any drinks tonight, Mr. Gabris? You know? Yeah. And now I'll call and make a reservation. I'm like, look, I'm coming through there. I was there to film this Esquire pilot a couple years ago. I had a great time there. You know, like,
and
I'll just be.
You're completely lying. Like, but there's also a truth to it. You did do it.
But I did do it. Like, I don't think it was like worthy of me telling anyone about, except in this one instance.
Yeah, and they hear that as like you're a big deal, and you're not. Nobody needs to know that.
Right. Yeah.
But I always am like, yeah, you know, and make it sound like I got a lot going on. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm planning on shooting through Vegas my way to London. I've said that before. You know, like this guy thinks I'm, and then so then my host befriended me on Facebook.
Oh no! Now you got to live a certain.
And I was
life.
Like, oh shit! I got to pop up the occasional pic of me on a boat or something.
Now you got to do what everyone else does with social media. Now you,
exactly.
You have to become.
You mean
what
lie?
You hate.
Yeah, all the time.
You have to become what you hate and put this best false forward.
Yeah,
best
exactly.
When is your next Vegas trip lined up?
Well, you and I were talking about going maybe September. I don't have anything set.
It's got to cool off a little bit.
What has school on?
Weather-wise.
Oh, weather-wise. Yeah. Well, Vegas is unbearable over the summer, but I do like going because I don't generally leave the hotel.
You don't have to go outside. I like to hit the pool now. That's another thing.
I'll do a jacuzzi.
I'll try to get like a couple hours in the pool side.
Yeah.
Love outdoor gambling. Big fan.
Well, you know what I learned is that because they'll give me a free armband to the club. You go into the club and then outside at the club, so you're seeing all the beautiful people and their outfits and everything. But you don't have to get in that disgusting packed dance floor. You can gamble. And they have blackjack. And they bring you around free drinks, which in a club would be $40 a piece.
Right.
But you gamble outside, in there, watching the club scene like from afar.
That's all I need.
That's what you should do. Because I did that this past time, and I had a fucking blast.
Oh, that's so...
And you feel like you're going out and being a club type guy, but you don't actually have to do it.
I love an opportunity to roll dice in a tank top and flip-flops.
Yeah, of course.
When we went to Pally's Bachelor Party, we were at the Hard Rock Cafe. I was rolling dice. It's right by the pool. I'm rolling dice in a bathing suit, no shirt on.
Yeah.
I'm fucking slamming drinks. At that point, I was young. I was like Jack and Cokes. I had like 40 Jack and Cokes. And I would just turn, dive into the pool, take a piss, climb out, and just dry off and start rolling dice again. Like I would be like...
It's a special thing.
It was so awesome.
And they're relying on that type of a person who's not ever going like, I should probably step back a minute and see how much I've actually lost here. Yeah. That's not on your mind.
Yeah, that they promote that.
Yeah.
They're like, look at this guy. All right, big guy. All right, get in here. Where are you from? Because they'll always say, where are you from? Because when I'm at the table, I'm like, hard 10, 2 on the fucking combat. Let me double down over here. push the hard 8, hard 6, hard 4, and hard 10.
Yeah.
And they're like, where are you from?
Yeah.
What fucking...
Omaha. The saddest thing I ever saw... And these things are these are what'll keep me from being David Milch. I saw at the Riverboat Casino in Missouri. I'm up there gambling on Christmas Eve. I didn't have anything to do till 9 p.m.
This is already a very sad story.
Extremely sad that I was there on Christmas Eve. But I'm waiting to go to a party, which of course I was an hour late to because then I got caught up in gambling. But I come out of the men's room, and there's this couple 3 years younger than me. This was a couple years back, so they were probably late 20s or something. And the woman is sobbing. The guy has tears in his eyes, and he's hugging her. And he's like, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. And I stopped and pretended to be, like, really into my phone as I was walking out. Like, started
just
walking really
get
slow.
Get one more piece of information.
Here's what she says to him. I mean, before we came, we could have given them something. But now we're going to be giving them nothing. What I pieced together was that they had enough to get their kids a couple presents, but said, let's go up to the fucking casino so we can give them a lot of presents, and lost it all.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm stoned enough to forget that the story was set on Christmas Eve for a moment.
Christmas Eve.
And I did not. And I was like, what did she mean by that?
It was like Christmas Eve Eve or Christmas Eve, but they couldn't. Now get their kids any gifts.
Oh.
And a husband and wife crying in each other's arms outside the men's room of a casino on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you can't get like that.
No.
You can get like that when you're like 22 and then you have to like pick up lifeguarding shifts on the weekend exactly. or some shit. Yeah, you can't.
First time I went, friend's bachelor party, when I had first moved to L.A., so I was probably 25 or something. And I was like, okay, my rent is $825. I lived at Melrose and Vine.
I'm so jealous.
Well, yeah. It was
except for the not the Melrose and Vine part.
Yeah. It was 10 years ago. And my rent's $825, and I had gone down with, I guess, $200. And I had, I think, $1,000. So I was like, technically, you can lose $175 and be fine.
Right.
Don't lose the full amount. So I'm like, maybe I shouldn't even bring this last $25. I'm analyzing over it. Night one, free drinks. You know, it used to be I would have one drink when I went out because it's all I could afford.
Right.
Night one, I wake up the next morning and I'm in the room and they're like, Pat, where did you go last night, dude? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And they're like, you go to the strip club or something? I was like, no, I think I was just gambling. I don't really know. It's like, well, what were you playing? We couldn't find you. I'm like, I don't know. Sure enough, I open my pocket. I have $200 ATM receipt, $200 ATM receipt, $200 ATM receipt. And I'm like, surely I won something. There's got to be some money.
There's cash somewhere.
There's got to be something. I have nothing. I've lost the entire $1,000. My rent's, you know, I'm a week from rent. I have no money at all at this point. And I was like, well, fuck, there's nothing I can do. And I had also had texted a buddy of mine back home that I had just won $1,500 on the machine, which I wouldn't
remember that.
I wouldn't have lied about, but I don't remember winning it. So I had it. That means I was up. So not only did I lose the $1,000, but an additional $1,500 that would have saved my. That's 3 months rent. This is at a time where every dollar was extremely important.
You don't have to,
And I sat. The entire trip was ruined. I wound up eating marmalade. We went out to like an IHOP, and I'm scooping marmalade out of the jar. Like for sustenance, drunk, but yeah, I had nothing, no money. Just a terrible feeling. It's the only time I've ever had to ask my parents for money.
Oof. I've had a couple of bad beats. I got my debit card eaten in Aruba, and I didn't want to tell my parents. Like, left it in the machine after I took out $400.
Okay.
And I didn't want to tell my parents, so I took a cash advance out on my credit card. And I was like,
when you're filling out that credit card cash advance form, you see that in Vegas too.
Yeah.
That's somebody who has made mistakes.
It's a bad move.
Yeah.
And I did it. And
why is it such a bad move? Interest?
The interest is insane.
Okay.
So if you can pay it off.
Yeah.
I still feel like there's a service fee on top of it anyway. Sure. And then the interest is crazy.
Yeah.
And I went twice. Because I didn't have a debit card.
Yeah.
And then it was easy to just write out $1,000 to charge to your credit card when I was like fucking 22.
Yeah. It's $1,000, then if you don't pay your bill, then it goes up massively.
Keeps. One time I went with Tiff to the casino and we were in Puerto Rico, I lost $500.
Yeah.
That I took out. I'm like, all right, that's all I was going to lose. So the next morning she's like, how much did you lose? I'm like, I lost the $500 at the ATM.
Yeah.
And then like we come back and we look at the bank statement and I had gone to the ATM 4 times. I only remembered going once. And it was just like, whoopsie doodle.
It's such a stupid thing to put together.
It's so easy to fuck that up.
Yeah. Well, for me, getting high or having a couple drinks is crucial to gambling.
Yeah, it's like driving.
Yeah, exactly. But to me, it takes away that voice going like, but Pat, you know, why would you? What you think? What you could do with $200? Just go buy a nice pair of pants or something with it.
You love pants.
I'm obsessed with pants. I think I have 2 pairs of pants total to my name. But I shut that voice out, and then you're in a place where like you're confident and you're gambling. I feel like, and this is again just stupid witchcraft shit, but I feel like when I'm in that mindset of blackjack, where I'm like, oh, there we go, another 6. Great, perfect.
You
got to
be a little loose because you got to know you're going to lose. You got to be able to. It's like
when you're doing
you hear
that
those
work.
Guys who survive accidents because they were like so unrigid.
Exactly.
You know, like
when you're way down and they're giving you shit cards because there's this guy at every table, especially past like 10 o'clock, where he's like, yep, fuck, that's exactly right. Give me a fucking 6. That's what I fucking need. Thanks a fucking lot.
Yeah.
Yelling at people at the table not to do things.
I like to do the passive aggressive, like, oh, 6. That's going to be fun. I think you and I, Margaret, we're going to be pals. You know, I do like all that. Corny.
Then you're having fun with it. When you get into that thing where you're like so angry, you will not win. It's like they want to punish you for being such an asshole.
But also, so this is something I've been working on totally in my life is like being angry, if you. it doesn't make you win easier.
No.
So if you're not angry when you're losing, at least you've never gotten angry.
Exactly.
So
you're like still my losing is, and now people don't like being around you.
I used to assume I would not get something and pretend like I didn't get it ahead of time so that when it didn't happen, I was built up emotionally to handle it.
Right.
But I don't feel any better after the fact. I can't turn to myself and go, see, I was right. I wasn't going to get that project.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So I've learned now to at least in the lead up, enjoy the possibility that it might happen.
Right.
There's no point in being negative until the no really hits.
Yeah.
I'm not being unrealistic.
And there's no need to brag about it ahead of time either.
Right, exactly, exactly.
I feel like there is such a thing as karma, and these guys who are being assholes, they'll lose 20 hands and be like, I can't win a fucking hand at this table. And you're just like, then get up.
Right.
You've lost you will see a guy lose 20 hands, 30 hands in a row. And he's so incredulous that he's lost. And if each hand is $50, you're like, oh, okay, I can't do the math, but you know what I mean.
That's like $1,000.
Get up.
Yeah.
Go if go to a different table or go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. No one has ever been complaining about how much they're losing, and then things turn around and they start winning.
Right.
The cards have decided you're not going to win.
Yeah. Right.
They really do. The cold string of cards, or what is that, rounders?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of truth to it. And you don't break out of it.
Yeah, and there's something to the, like, if you don't even get a taste of it, maybe it's just the sign that it's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, of course.
Right, because that's the worst is when you burn out, like, you lose $600 at the blackjack table, and you're like, I didn't even get, like, I didn't even get a moment where I was like, ooh,
yeah.
You know, I had nothing, no positive shit.
Generally, if I lose three hands in a row, I'm looking at leaving. Like, if I lose that fourth hand, I'm off the table.
Oh, wow.
And then you'd be surprised that that's not something where you're one of those guys who's hopping up every 5 minutes.
Right. Because it's hard to lose four in a row.
It's hard to lose four in a row. And if you do, take
that
hint.
Yeah, that's a bad... Yeah. Take a break. Take a $50 break as you walk to another table.
Yeah,
taking
exactly.
5 minutes will walk you to another table.
Right.
I get like...
Meet new people.
I get stressed when I'm one... I don't like a big table of people because there's always a chance someone sucks.
Yeah, sure.
But then also when you're by yourself, it goes a little too fast.
You're seeing the new phenomenon there now. I see it so much. Usually Asian dudes. I don't know what that means. Splitting tents. So they'll have two kings.
Right.
And if it's against, I saw a guy do it against another 10, and that's when I got up.
Right.
But splitting those 10s to try to get two hands, and they give you like a 4 and a 2.
Yeah.
It's like, what were you doing?
No, you just take the W at that moment.
It's happening all the time now. And I had never seen it till recently, but there must have been a new book that came out.
Right, right. There's like got
to
be some...
The Aggressive Douche's Guide to Blackjack.
Split them, bro.
Right. And that's the kind of person who... I get playing for yourself, and I think it's stupid when people yell at somebody for how they want to play.
Right.
But if you're actively trying to fuck up everyone at the table except you,
right.
People have kind of a right to get mad. But again, I go,
just
all
get
right,
up.
I'll get up.
That's what I do.
You can always get up.
If someone's being like erratic or hitting, or like even just like their cigarette keeps getting too close to me, I'm just like,
exactly.
That's my last hand. And I just take my money and go, thank you.
Yeah.
I am now need to gamble. This is like watching 3 hours of Diners and Drive-Ins and Dives and then trying to order food safely.
I know.
I need to gamble.
I'm in the same boat. When I talk about it, I'm like, I want to do it now.
This flexed a certain muscle in me. Like it's scratch and itch is the expression I was looking for.
Yeah.
Scratch a certain itch getting to talk about it, but we need to go soon.
We can go play poker Thursday.
Oh, let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it. Pat Walsh, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me. I'm
so happy.
Fan.
I'm so happy to get to talk to a friend for an hour. That's what I like most about the podcast.
Yeah, it's good.
Force you to engage with me and tell me your cool stories.
That's why I go to therapy. It's somebody has to listen to you and not look at their phone for an hour. And I'll pay for that privilege.
Maybe I need therapy.
Everyone could
a feeling, though, if I started doing therapy, I would be like, oh, I don't need to perform anymore.
I thought the same. Yeah. It's not the case.
Not the case. Right,
it's a help.
You
it's
still
help.
Need it. You still need it. All right. Pat, where you like anything to play? Where can people shout Vegas tips at us on Twitter?
I am on Twitter, Instagram, Vine, et cetera, all that shit at The Patrick Walsh.
And you're a great Twitter follow.
Oh, thank you very much, Gavis.
I got the follow after I met you at Sean's, and what a great.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Very funny. And anything else? Watch Two Broke Girls, or at least buy every box set of DVDs so you don't have to watch them?
I think people know that show is on the air by now. I wrote for Crashing, which is the HBO show. It should be out in like January. And I am on...
This podcast comes out April 2017. Just as I'm way ahead.
For some reason, I am on episode 9 of Cameron Crowe's Roadies.
Are you?
Yeah. I have a small but not pivotal role. And I have a podcast with my buddy Joe DeRosa, who's an extremely funny stand-up.
Love Joe, yeah.
Called We'll See You in Hell, where we talk about all kinds of things. But the gist, because it's with Fangoria,
is horror movies.
Is horror sci-fi movies, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Which I'm not even a big fan of, so we just kind of yell at each other about various things. But that's it.
All right. Well, Pat, thank you so much for coming on.
What do you have to plug, Gabrus?
Oh, I'm at John Gabrus. No H's in John or Gabrus.
Yeah.
Buy yourself some High and Mighty t-shirts from the High and Mighty t-shirt store. But more importantly, just tell a friend to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Everybody just tell a friend. If you know, unless you hate this podcast, then you don't have to tell anyone about it. But then also don't listen.
Yeah, why would you be 2 hours into us talking about gambling?
Yeah, there's
if you
a very specific person who's hate listening. I brought it up on a previous one. I'm like,
yeah.
I gotta know who hate listens to my podcast. Because I hate listen to some things or hate watch some things.
Sure, but that's douchebags, and I think whether you agree with what we're talking about or not, I don't think we're douchebags.
No. They can't. They couldn't have garnered that by this conversation. They should have no idea.
Yeah.
People closer to us, maybe we could be.
Then again, does a douchebag ever know he's a douchebag?
Yeah. If you look around the table and there's no douche.
Well, I think we all know what you were trying to
say. Yeah, the ringers. The rounders. I don't even know the ringer with Johnny Knoxville when he competes in the Special Olympics. My favorite movie.
Yeah, yeah. How did they get away with that movie? That wasn't that long ago.
I know.
Pretending to be a mentally handicapped person.
I think because they painted him as the bad guy, and they were like, "We'll make."
Yeah. This. Well, you know what? To me, that was a less offensive movie than like I Am Sam.
Right. That was
because
upsetting.
It's taken itself seriously as well, and it's all about him winning an Academy Award.
Yeah, and I thought that Tropic Thunder really took.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That movie was exactly right about that.
All right, later, shitheads. Tropic Thunder was exactly right. Our usual sign out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.